Let's give Tom and Betsy a hand of appreciation for 20 years. Thank you, brother. I was a little disappointed when I saw you folks just didn't jump right up for an opportunity to testify and give a testimony or a thanks for the Lord. If you read the Psalms, King David said, "Is there anyone that will clap their hands for the Lord? Is anybody give the Lord a hand today that God's done something good?" Isn't that something? Well, we give Tom Betsy a hand that he did something good. Well, has the Lord done anything good for you? You ought to give him a round of applause. Part B. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, please. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Because Brother Richard was here today and he showed us about the Scripture. And there is power in the Scriptures. So in Acts chapter 1, the Lord gives us a promise of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1. Shall we read in unison, please? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Now, the Bible says to be filled, what? With what? The Holy Spirit, not pizza. So now you've been filled with pizza, so let's stand in reverence to the Lord and read in unison the Scriptures. All right? Shall we read together? "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Heavenly Father, anoint us with fresh oil. Thank you for your people, Tom and Betsy in the church. Bless every member. Thank you for the boys and girls. Help us, Lord, to draw near to you. And Lord, may this be the time that each one of these folks here make that list and claim their family for the kingdom of heaven. And Lord, that they decide right now, if they ever have an opportunity to give thanks unto you, they'll give it. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Acts chapter 1 is the promise. The Lord said, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Well, if the Lord promises me power, how do I claim that power? Okay, let me show you one thing about the Lord. Look at that sign up there. It says, Tom and Betsy came here in 1998. Is that right? Let me ask you this. What was the challenge of the hour? What was the number one reason that God wanted them here? Not 10 things. What was the number one reason? Dr. Leon Maurer wrote a book entitled The Challenge of the Hour. Is soul winning. The Lord came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for all. So the truth is, the greatest purpose or reason for us as a church is to be a soul winner, to witness for Christ, to tell others about the Lord. So let me tell you what happened. When I got right with the Lord, old Dr. John Rice, a preacher, preached on soul winning. And he said, the reason that your family's not saved and they're going to die and spend eternity in hell, and the families and the cities and the towns are dying and going to hell, is because people don't pray for their families. And he said, what you ought to do is claim your family. Do you love your family? You want to see them? How many of you want your family to go to heaven? Let me see your hand. Then are you just going to wait to hopefully someday they're going to receive Christ? Or are you going to actively try to do something about it? Try to get a hold of the ear of God. Try to get a hold of the power of God. Try to get them to that point to where they get saved and have the joy that we have. How many of you have the joy of the Lord in your heart? Say amen. Amen. Then we want to share that with them, right? So the old man of God told me this. He said, what you need to do is you need to come to the altar on invitation and claim your family members, listen to this, by name for heaven. And then he said, you need to go and witness to them. And so, Brother Tom, you know, when you give an invitation, nobody wants to get up and go forward because the devil's already told you, hey, everybody's looking at you and they'll think you're the worst person in town and they'll wonder what's going on in your life. So they won't come forward. So I got up, went forward, and knelt down right here at the altar. And I wept and cried. That's back when people cried about people really realizing that if they don't receive Christ, they're going to die and spend eternity away from God. And so I knelt and named my brothers, my sisters, my family members, my neighbors, my friends. You know what God did? I was able to lead over 40 members of my family to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. See them get baptized. See them serve God. Some of them are still serving God today after 30, 40 years. And then when they died, boy, it was a joy. When they buried, I didn't have to cry.
That's right.
Because they were in glory. You know why? Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. You just got to learn to ask. And I really believed that if my brothers and sisters didn't get saved, they're going to die and go to hell. And I love my brothers and sisters, and I want them to go to heaven. And I said, oh God, would you help me? So, vacation time come. Me and the wife, we take 2 weeks and just went on visitation. We visited everybody that we knew. And we witnessed to them. None of this talking about the ball games and the fruit on the trees and all that. Talk to them about Christ, forgiveness of sins, gift of God's eternal life. Do you know the Lord? Are you sure? Do you have assurance of your salvation? So many folks don't have assurance of salvation. So we witness. And I was able to lead so many to the Lord. Don't have time to tell you. But the truth is, loved one, you need to claim your loved ones because time is running out. Do you see that sign up here? 98, that's 20 years ago. They're already 20 years closer to the end of their life. They have 20 years less to repent. One old man of God said, when you procrastinate and put off getting saved, every day you put off, you have more to repent of, but you have less time to repent in. And so your loved ones, they're closer to hell than you think. And they will die and they will spend eternity in hell if someone doesn't talk to them about the Lord. In the Spirit of God. In the power of God, in the love of Christ. King David said of the Lord, it is the gentleness of the Lord that hath made me great. David was a man of war. He killed Goliath. But you must understand that God is good, and God is gracious, and God is great, and He is able to help you win your loved ones. Do you really love them? I do. I love my family. And so I claimed them. So I'm going to ask you right now. Lay that old song, Betsy. Lay some soul upon my heart. And love that soul through me. If mom's not saved or dad's not saved, say, oh, Lord, lay their name upon my heart. And pray for them every day. And call them up. And write them a letter. And do something to talk to them about the Lord. And so right now, let's just take a moment and ask the Lord to help us to be a soul winner to those individual people in our family. Because you see what that verse said? You shall be witnesses unto me, where? First of all, Jerusalem, that's home. You need to go home and witness to your family. And then in Judea, that's the province, that's your county. And then in Samaria, that's the country. And then to the uttermost parts of the earth. So first of all, you need to go home. Now, I've come up here to Canada to win souls, but the truth is, I went home first. I went to Jerusalem. Because I love my mom and my dad and my grandpa and my grandma and all of my sweet brothers and sisters. So I came up here and Tom sent us out on visitation. Remember that, brother? So brother Tom and I went out on visitation. And he sends us to this woman that had been to a Pentecostal church, been lied to about Pentecostal doctrine and all that. And we go in and she starts telling us about, well, how they speak in this gibberish and that. And that's not right. So I was praying. Tom was going to speak. And I thought, now what's my brother going to say to this woman? Not to offend her, but just tell her the truth. And Brother Tom, filled with the sweet Holy Spirit, simply said, well, young lady, if you come to Castlegar Baptist Church, we don't have the dog and pony show. We have the truth of the Word of God and the Scripture. But come and find the joy of the Lord. So I'm going to have Brother Tom come, because he's the best soul winner I know. Just throw that over there, brother. We're going to let you lead us in prayer. But here's what I want to challenge you to do. Because there will only be a few. You see how many people that were here today? But you see the only one that got baptized? My heart jumped when I thought about, she may be the one girl shake this world for God like Fanny Crosby. Fanny Crosby, a little girl, was blind, wrote 8,000 hymns to the glory of God. Mm-hmm. One little girl, filled with the Spirit and power, God can change the world. And so I know this man, he loves the souls in this area, and Beaver Valley, and all around at Creston and all the other places. And I've been with him. And the reason we went is because we love them. And who loves your relatives? Who's going to stand on the outside and knock on their door and tell them the truth? I guarantee you the devil will send a lot of people to tell them lies and fake news, and then they'll wind up in hell. Well, if they go to hell, they're going to have to go over me, because I'm going to stand in a hedge and take up a gap and tell them the truth if it kills them or me too. Because I love them. And so I'm going to ask you to claim those loved ones you prayed for. And don't give up, saint of God. So I'll teach you one thing about the Lord, and then Tom's going to pray. You see that sign, 1998, 2018? That's time. But God is an eternal God. We are eternal beings. That means that there never was a time when God began. There never will be a time when God ends. Everything to God is present. God sees us today just as He saw us 20 years ago. The commission is still the same. Go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's still the same. Because His heart is, He knows if man doesn't repent, then judgment has to come upon Canada and upon America. May God help our nations. We need to pray for our leaders, because they determine our peace and our prosperity. You need to pray for your family. So I'm going to have Brother Stastny come and pray. And let's stand if you would. If you want to pray where you are, that's fine. If you just want to kneel where you are, that's fine. But if you want to come to the altar and pray, you come. But I'm going to ask you to claim someone today for heaven, and that God would give you courage and strength to do everything you can to win them to Christ. So let's bow in prayer. If you need to come or kneel, You come. Brother Tom, you lead us.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we're out of time. Lord, we need your Holy Spirit.
Yes, dear God.
Lord God, even when the message and the speaking started, you had already given me, Lord, names. And even though the pastor, when I first got saved, I went to everyone in our family.
Yes, dear God.
And we witnessed to them, Lord, and we told them about your sweet love.
Yes.
Now, Lord, I've come to realize, even just this moment, that, Lord God, there's other generations in my family now. And, Lord God, so me as a person, Lord, I do claim my grandchildren.
Yes, dear God. Oh, Father, we claim our grandkids for the kingdom of heaven. Yes.
That would be, Lord, both in word and in lifestyle and for love of them. And, Lord, never to give up on them.
Yes.
For I know, Lord, that one of them even openly confesses that she does not believe.
Oh, God, help us, Lord, I pray. Yes. Yes, dear God. Yes.
Myself and Dana, that we can show her the love of Christ. And Lord, so I'm asking you today, each and everyone here, that you put one, or maybe a dozen people on our mind.
Yes, dear God. Yes.
We would intercede to the throne of grace. And Lord, we would name them by name. And Lord, we would see them get saved. And Lord, then we could go into the assembly and praise your name. Praise your name.
Yes, dear God. Yes.
So do that work, Lord, each and every one of us. And Lord, give us that desire, that unction that we need.
Yes, dear Father. Yes.
To speak and to live that life that would have power. And Lord God, that we could share that love that you loved us with. So bless us now during this time.
Yes.
And Lord, even though there's going to be a little bit of silence here, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be speaking loud and clear.
Yes, dear God, yes.
And Lord, we would give testimony of it.
Yes. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your people. And Lord, I pray that you would look toward this place. Lord, you'd move the smoke away. Dear God, you'd drop the scales from our eyes that we may see the important things that we need to do in our life, in our family, and in this town. And so, Father, I pray that you bless these that have come seeking thee, O God. Anoint them with fresh oil. Guide them and help them, instruct them, lead them. Lord, draw near to them in Christ's precious and wonderful, outstanding name. Amen. All of God's people said? All right, take your Bibles and turn, if you would, please, to John, the Gospel of John. And I want to have Cameron come. He's going to read John chapter 14, John chapter 16. Can a man preach that can't read? God called a man that couldn't read to preach. And so he was a great preacher. And he had an elder, a deacon in the church that read his the text, and he would comment and preach on that text. And he did a great work for the Lord. You say, well, how could he do that? Because the Lord asked him to. And he asked the Lord for the strength to do it, and he did it. And so you see, I'm going to be going on to heaven one day. Well, who's going to read you the scripture then? Cameron? Or these young men. So Cameron, you come. And I'm going to let you read John chapter 14. If you want to know about the sweet Holy Spirit, look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And then we'll go to John chapter 16. Look at John chapter 14. verse 16. The Lord said, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter." That means a helper. Right now. "That you may abide with you forever." Let's read it in unison. Verse 17. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but you know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless or helpless. I will come to you." And so, saint of God, you don't have to be helpless. You don't have to be made to feel helpless or in a state of depression. Listen, the Holy Spirit of God will abide with you, dwell with you, and help you. You're not helpless when you yield to the presence of the Spirit of God. Let me show you how He does that. Cameron, you come. Turn to John chapter 16. In John chapter 16, verse 7, as a young child, I have been able and privileged to know the Lord from a child. I spent 9 years in a Methodist church, and in the 20th century, there were a lot of people that loved God. John Wesley preached this message, if you read it, all of his daily chronicles, preached this message of the Holy Spirit more than any other message. Look, if you would, John chapter 16. Cameron, you come. Read for us, if you would, please. Just come right here, son. Verses 7 through 11. Let's listen to the Word of God.
John 16, 7 through 11. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father, and ye see Me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged."
And so, loved one, it's not what the problem is, it's who's missing. There is no conviction of sin today. There's no declaration of righteousness. Very few Christians will even say, "Praise God, I love the Lord, Merry Christmas." But the truth is, you need to learn to stand up, speak up, and then shut up and sit down. For the Lord, for righteousness. There's souls at stake. The work of the Lord. The name of the Lord. Did you know, my pastor taught me this. He said, when I went to pastor the first time, he said, "Your number one responsibility is to protect the name and the honor of the Lord." That's a good thing. If you don't protect the name of the Lord, and I don't protect the honor of the Lord, who's going to do it? Who's going to speak up for the Lord? Who's going to give God a hand? Who's going to say, "I love the Lord"? And so I determined many, many years ago, listen to this, anytime someone universally gives an opportunity for someone to stand up or speak up or give honor to the Lord, I'm going to claim that opportunity. Because most folks, the devil has beat them down. They went through depression, discouragement, defeatism, and now they're in the dungeon of defeat and can't even lift their eyes up and smile and say, "I love God." It's time to speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Mohammedans don't have any problem with that. Why is it that Christians do? Because laws have been made now to criticize Christians. The foreign countries, Nigeria, many others, Christians are persecuted. Churches are burned in Egypt. Syria, they're bombed. Many other countries, Christians are under persecution publicly. Thank God in Canada and America we still can assemble and have freedom of religion to praise the Lord of our choice. Amen? So I would encourage you, have that testimony. Look while you're here in John chapter 16, verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, watch this, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He, let's read it, and He will show you things to come. Verse 14, He shall glorify Me. That is a masculine, personal pronoun. The Holy Spirit is not an influence or just a wind. The Holy Spirit is the third part of the Godhead. The Godhead is a Trinity. There is a Father, a Son, a Holy Spirit. God the Father created the heavens and the earth. The Son brought redemption on Calvary's cross. When Christ ascended back into heaven, He said, "You pray, and the sweet Holy Spirit will come and no longer be in the world, but in the believer." So God works today through the sweet Holy Spirit in the temple of God. We are the temple of God. This building is not the temple of God. There are multitudes of religious people that worship a building. One of the things the Holy Spirit would do when He came, the Lord's Prayer in John chapter 17, He would unify all believers throughout the world. Not the unsaved, but believers. And so James and John would fight, but the sweet Holy Spirit would bring them together. And so the beautiful truth is, loved one, today the Holy Spirit of God is the Godhead upon the face of the earth today in the hearts of believers. And multitudes of folks don't understand that. For the kids that are here today, how can God be a Father and a Son and the Holy Spirit? You have a mother. You have a mother. What's her name?
Green.
You don't have a wife. What's her name?
I don't.
But one day it'll be a wife. And then you'll have children. What's their name? Well, you have children. So a person, one individual, can be the son of his mother. He can be the husband of his wife. He can be the father of his children. But how many Toms are there? Mm-hmm. One. And Tana said, "Thank God for that." So, who lives within my heart? God lives in my heart today. In the person of the sweet Holy Spirit. The power of God. The person of God. And so the truth is, loved one, that's why Brother Stastny or Brother Tom will teach you the wonderful things of the Spirit of the living God. But you ought to know how to be led by the Spirit and to walk in the Spirit and talk in the Spirit and to yield to the Spirit. Spirit of the living God, descend on us today. And they prayed for 10 days for the Spirit of God to come on them. And the Spirit of God came on them. And you read the book of Acts. Were they, you folks that are afraid of your own shadow, did they have fear? No. They beat them, put them in prison. And they said, "If you don't quit speaking in the name of Jesus, we're going to beat you or kill you." And you know what they did? They said, "We will continue to speak because it's an honor to suffer shame for the name of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ." That's an honor. And Paul and Silas was in jail at midnight. What was they doing? Amazing grace. They were singing. You got to be kidding me. And then the Philippian jailer got saved and his whole house. Wasn't that great? Yeah. But he came and he was going to kill himself. And Paul said, "Oh no, don't do that." He said, "Well, I thought you boys would be gone." Isn't it amazing? Most of the convicts that are in jail today want to get out. Well, the jail doors came open, and Paul and Silas, they were still singing songs and were going to stay because they were soul winning. The Philippian jailer and his whole house got saved. Glory to God. Isn't that a great thing? Because they counted it a privilege to suffer shame for the name. So when people criticize you and mock you and say bad things about you because you're Christian, just remember, great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they Christ and all the others that went before us. But God loves you, and you're still right to honor the true Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit will help you to do that. Holy Spirit gives you courage. And so in Acts chapter 4, listen to this. And with great boldness they stood up. They contended for the faith. They spoke out. They weren't intimidated. They weren't ashamed. Rome was in power. Brother Richard was talking about Paul and Timothy this morning. And things were bad. Timothy, Paul wrote that in 66. You know who was in power in Rome? Nero. You talk about wickedness. Man, in 66, 4 years till Rome's going to burn. 4 years till the temple of God, the house of God's going to be burned to the ground. Christians are all going to be slaughtered. They'll have to be dispersed throughout the world. Yeah, 4 years. So the truth is, loved one, anytime you have an opportunity, let the sweet Spirit of God give you the boldness and the courage to speak up. Now in families, I realize you're trying to keep the unity of the Spirit. And that's why you have to pray. Lord, do you want me to say this? Is this the time you want me to say it? Am I the one that should say it? And so you ask yourself those questions, pray. And then the Holy Spirit will help you and give you words to say to draw the person closer to the Lord rather than just make them mad. And that's the work of the Spirit. Because they have to be born again by the Spirit of God. Not by our education. Not by our desire. It's by the sweet Spirit of God. So I would encourage you, anytime there's an opportunity to declare your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved you, died for you, gives you eternal salvation, a mansion in heaven, has given you a husband or a wife or kids or grandkids and health and a job. And think of this, everything you have comes from the blessing of God. Everything. And we can't say, thank you, Lord. We can't say, I appreciate the Lord helping me in my life. So I'd encourage you, anytime you have an opportunity to give a testimony or make an opportunity and go soul winning, knock on doors and give your testimony. I once was lost, but now I'm saved. And maybe you can have somebody else get saved. How many of you were excited when this girl got baptized today? Say amen. Well, you see, how about that other little girl out there? Nobody loves. Nobody cares for. Nobody's talked to her. How about that little boy? And so, loved one, you give your testimony. Those of you that are in places of employment, there's rules and regulations. We understand all that. So you pray for the opportunity, whether it's on break time or before work or after work. Yes, don't take the opportunity to preach or that. You're not there to that. But to give a testimony, your personal testimony. If you're filled with the Spirit of God, let me show you how to happen. The Bible says, be filled with the Spirit of God. How many of you drank coffee? Have you ever tucked the coffee pot and poured it out and you poured a little too much and it came all the way up to the top and then it started to go ooh, 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 and you were so afraid it was going to go over, but it didn't. It just stood right there. But then you can't move it. So Cameron, in his dignified and manly way, just bends over and goes and sucks that right out of there. You done that?
Yeah.
I knew you had. But here's the truth. One old preacher back in 1917, old preacher said, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, said, let your cup get so full that every time you walk, you slosh out. And Sister Saucer gets some too. And so, every time you step, we ought to be like that. And isn't that truth? Everybody ought to know we are Christian. You know what the word Christian means? Listen to this. One like Christ. I sing a little chorus. Lord, I want to be a Christian when I die. Hadn't buried too many people that regretted that they were a Christian the day they were dying. They were thankful to God they were a Christian in that hour, in that day. And so I'd encourage you, get your testimony and keep your testimony and give your testimony. One more little illustration. Had a preacher friend, and he was like Cameron. He was shy and to get up. And so he wrote his testimony down. This is a true story. Some of my stories are true, Tom. He wrote his story down, and Tommy pulled his desk drawer out, put his testimony in there. And a mouse got in there and ate the paper and made a nest out of it. And he had to confess, and that was his testimony. I used to have a testimony, but the rat got my testimony. So what has robbed you of your testimony? Is depression, job, work, finance? The old devil is dirty, mean, ornery, low down. He wants to rob us of one of the most precious things we are, our identification with the Lord Jesus Christ. One fellow said, if you were arrested on the street for being a Christian, is there enough evidence to convict you? There ought to be. There ought to be. Everybody in your family and around you ought to know you're a Christian. Now, you don't have to be belligerent or mean or self-willed or pushy. We're not talking about that. We're talking about love. So I'll close with this illustration. Old Dr. Ford Porter, he prayed for this man to get saved. A lady in his church, she came every time. And she'd pray for her husband. But she said, oh, Dr. Porter, if you go over there, he's a drunk and he's got a gun, he may shoot you. And so Dr. Porter prayed what to say. So he went over and he knocked on the door. And the guy came, slammed the door open, said, what do you want? And Dr. Porter said, he put his hand on his shoulder. And he didn't say nothing. He just knelt down, began to weep and cry, and told the man they'd been praying for him at church, and that his wife loved him, and he loved him, and Christ loved him and died for him. And the old man's knees buckled, and he knelt down, and Dr. Porter led him to the Lord. That's not intellectual wisdom. That's the power of the Spirit of the living God. We don't have to say much when it's written on our face how much we love them. And every time you go on visitation, you're showing this town, we love you. We care for you. We're here for you. And no matter what comes, we're going through it together with the Lord. And so don't surrender your testimony. Testimony for Christ our Lord is a beautiful thing. Give it every opportunity you can. Brother Tom, you come.